I don't have ever heard you sing better. I was good. I appreciate that so very, very much. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. This may seem like an odd message for a Sunday night crowd. Especially kind of how I'm going to do it here, but I don't know. I just felt like we needed to think about some things here. And Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. Appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. Next week is Mother's Day. And so we always honor all our ladies, whether they're mothers or not. All our ladies, 18 years of age and older, always kind of wave their flag a little bit. So you have a mother to bring her along, or a grandmother, or a great-grandmother, or a friend, lady, or whatever, and we'd be glad to have them. We'll honor them, have a little gift for them, for each of you. And so I hope you'll come. That's next Sunday morning. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. Let's read here. It says, "Then came Peter to him," to Jesus, "and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." Now, think about that as, well, we'll talk about what that really means. Let's say 10,000 talents worth of sins. He owes him 10,000 talents worth of sins. "But for as much as he had not to pay," of course, none of us do, "his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Now, I know this talking about forgiveness, and we're going to talk some about that. But I want you to look at go back verse 25. Go back and look at verse 25 with me real quick. "But for as much as he had not to pay his Lord," I'm sorry, "but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. And a servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." Let's pray, and I want to talk with you on this subject tonight. I could never pay the price. I could never pay the price. Let's pray. Father, wonderful, marvelous grace that you've given us. We could never pay the price. Thank you for your love for us here this evening. Lord, I just want to dwell on a few thoughts here. May we really understand, once again, internalize, take to the heart what you really did for us. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you it's given freely. And thank you that we can give it out freely. That man missed out. He could have extended that grace, but he didn't. Grace had been extended to him, and he refused to forgive the little. And he had been forgiven much. Father, speak to us. I ask for your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. This parable exemplifies our worth as compared to God's worth. And at the same time, it shows the value that God puts on a single soul. First thing I want you to see here tonight is the great debt. There's a great debt. Peter sets himself up here in verse 21 as the standard of perfection. He says, then came Peter to him, verse 21, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now you think about this. To worry about someone offending you and you having to forgive them means that you have forgotten how we have offended others, and most of all, how we have offended God and have needed His forgiveness. How many times do I have to forgive you? Well, how many times has God forgiven you? Jesus says, when it comes to true forgiveness, who's counting? He says, listen, I say not unto you seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now you've heard me say this. That means about what it means that we forgive him about every 2.94 seconds. Minutes, I'm sorry. 2.94 minutes. If you 70 times seven, in other words, if we had to forgive somebody 490 times a day, it's about every 3 minutes. About time they've sinned against you, and you have talked about it, forgiven them, they've sinned against you again. And you've forgiven them, they've sinned against you again. And you've forgiven them, they've sinned against you again. He says, listen, stop counting. Forgiveness is not about necessarily making things right. Forgiveness is saying it's done. Listen, you've heard me say this so often. God, when he died on the cross, by the way, Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. So he knew it was all going to happen before he ever created us. And he paid for not only our past sins, our present sins, but all our future sins, things that you haven't even done against him yet. In fact, when he died, all our sins were in the future. So he's paid for all our sins. He's given us all. Listen, if he starts counting sins, if we should mark iniquity, who shall stand? It's awful. It's really interesting how we can forget our own sin. You know, it's pretty gone. Once somebody, we know we got past, we kind of mark that off. We move right on. We have a hard time forgetting the sins of others. You think about how many sins we committed from the day we were born. Think about kindergarten, first grade, third grade, that kid down the street, the time mama whooped you to within an inch of your life. Remember when you were 15 and remember the night when you were 20 and you were supposed to, but you and everything in between, every little thought, the thought of foolishness is sin. Oh, my soul, you start counting those things, we're all in a heap of trouble. There's a great debt. True forgiveness, though, does not take the size or the number of the offenses into account. It just forgives. Well, how far must I go in forgiveness? Well, How far must I go? Well, let me tell you this. When someone sins, Peter said, well, someone sinned against me. The forgiveness is not based on the offender. Forgiveness comes from the offended. Forgiveness is based on how much the offended is like Jesus. The one who forgives, watch this, it may sound simple, but the one who forgives must be a forgiver. A forgiver forgives. The size of the infraction is not a consideration. So we'll say, well, I will forgive this much, but I'm not going further than that. What if Jesus has said, well, I'll forgive this much, but that's as far as I'm going. If you cross that line, you're on your own. Well, where's that line? In fact, there's chances when we sin against a holy and righteous God, the Bible said we break the law at one point, we've broken the whole law. We're guilty of all. Listen, forgiveness is not based on the amount of the hurt imposed on the offended, but on the status of the forgiver's heart. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is not based on the amount of the hurt imposed on the offended, but forgiveness comes because of the status of the forgiver's heart. He's a forgiver. The king of the kingdom here measures the offense. Look at verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, how much did he owe the king? And we've talked about this. Now, a talent was about 75 to 80 pounds. Now, there's 16 ounces in a pound. Now, I know there's Troy ounces, which is kind of is what they do when you know when you buy silver and so forth. And it's about 31 grams rather than the 28 grams, but it's real close. It's real close to being the same thing. So I'm just going to kind of do as regular ounces because we know that. But 16 ounces in a pound. So 16 ounces times 75 pounds times 10,000 talents. That equals 12 million ounces of silver. Now, I looked on the current price of silver. It's a little bit more than $17 an ounce right now. Now, you take the 17 times the 12 million, you come with $204 million. That's a lot. $204 million. That's what he owed. Now watch this. You say, well, how in the world did he run up a debt like that? He didn't. He stole it from the king. He was the king's servant. He was doing business. I don't know whether he lost it, he embezzled it, where it was, but it was gone. Everything we have, by the way, belongs to the king. And we misuse it, we've offended him. We need to be forgiven when we misuse what the king gives us. So it was quite a debt. It was a great debt. A great debt. I want to show you a great price. Number two, a great price. Verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. Now Romans 7:14 talks about how we're sold under sin. Sin has bought us. Sin chains us. We're sold under sin. This morning we had a lot of songs about redemption. Redemption means to buy back. But the word redemption, often used in the Bible, means to buy back, never to be put on the market again. When he bought us back, it's done. In fact, he buys us back and sets us free. And then we have the choice whether to love him back and serve him or not. He buys us back and sets us free. But we come at a very great price. A very great price. He says, listen, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, for him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, I want to say something to this. When you get into sin, it will cost you a whole lot more than you ever expected to pay. It takes you a whole lot further, costs you a whole lot more, and you're going to stay out there a whole lot longer than you ever thought about doing. It will cost you so much. Listen, one little stupid decision can cost you your family. It can cost you your home. It can cost you everything you have. One little decision, one little stupid move. How many people have ruined things because of one little thought? One little thought. Listen, we feel, and there's a lot of people say, well, we've already had hell on earth. And the cruelty to our family and the loved ones should be payment or not enough. But that could never pay the price we owe. Because the price, the debt, is against the King. It's so great. It's so great. We cannot pay our debt to the King. It's too great. It's $204 million. I'm not sure. I don't think there's anybody in here that can come up with half of that. Or a fourth of that. Or even an eighth of that. Let's keep going. We've sinned against a holy and a righteous God. We cannot pay our debt to the King. We owe the King all that we have and more. We owe the King, watch, every blessing we have. Even our wife and our kids that we enjoy are a blessing from the King. Everything we own actually came from the King. He owns what we think we own. We have nothing of our own to pay him with. Listen, who gave us our life? God. He owns, we're bought with a price. He owns us. He's our creator. How in the world can we pay him back with his money? You follow what I'm saying? I cannot pay him back with his possessions. So we think we own ourselves. All we can do is throw ourselves at the feet of the King and seek his mercy. Look at verse 26. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Somehow, I think we still think we can do something to make up for the debt. And if we have to make restitution in order to be forgiven, watch this. It will not happen. If we have to make restitution in order to be forgiven, it will not happen. It can't happen. We can never go back and pay for what we've done. Well, you know, I did this and this and this, but I've done this. It's pretty good. That should count for something. Miss Diamond, suppose I stole $10 from you. But yesterday I didn't. So that makes up for the 10 I stole, right? No. See, that's the way we think. You know I did this and this and this wrong, God, but you know, yesterday I didn't do any of that. Well, how in the world does that make up for what I did? How can we as humans ever hope to restore to God what God has given us? Let me say that again. How can we as humans ever hope to restore to God, give to God what God has given us? We can not repay the King with his own money. The debt, you can look at it this way, the debt is too great to be paid. Watch, whatever we have added to the blessings that God has given us is of no value. Isaiah 64:4 says, for since the beginning of the world, Men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, or God beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, and those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuance that we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness, says, are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We have a great debt. There's a great price. Number three, there's a great gift. There's a great gift. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That word compassion has the idea of something deep down. You could say that he ached with pity. I think he saw the loss. He didn't see the sin. He saw the suffering that was going to come because of the sin. He ached with pity. And it says he loosed him, made him fully free, released him from the debt, pardoned his sin. He wasn't guiltless. He still owed the debt. But there was no way in the world he was ever going to pay that debt. He saw the hurt, the pain, and the loss. And he said, forget it. Forget it. It says he loosed him, and watch, and forgave him the debt. That's interesting. That word forgave him means to forsake his claim to the payment. When he forgave his sin, he forsook his claim to the payment. You owe it to me. And it's rightfully mine. But I'm going to forsake my claim to it. He's going to absorb the loss. Now, this really isn't my message, but you think about when you have to forgive somebody, you probably actually have a claim that you could call in. You know what I'm saying? They owe me something. They owe me. But forgiveness is forsaking your claim on that offense. If we forsake our claim, it's done. Never brought up again. You forsook it. Don't bring it up. Don't harbor in your heart. That root of bitterness will destroy you. You say, well, then I just lost. You lost what the world had to give. You gained what the Lord has to give. Our only hope to have our debt paid. Now think about this. Our only hope to have our debt paid is for forgiveness to be extended to us by the mercy of the King. Verse 27 there, he says, and then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, set him free, and forsook the debt. He forgave him the debt. Now watch me. He forgave the debt. You know what that means? The offense no longer exists. It's gone. Well, you still... No, no, no. He forsook his claim on it. The debt has now been neutralized. It's neutralized. It's no longer there. That's what true forgiveness is. You think about what God did for us. My guess is if we start marking iniquity, we probably do have 204 million sins since we've been alive. it according to God's definition of sin. Now, according to our definition of sin, man, maybe once or twice, I'm pretty good. But according to God's definition of sin, of coming short of the glory of God, missing the mark of who He is, time after time after time after time after time, we could never pay the price. In God's calculations and reasoning, apparently we're worth more to Him than anything. He was willing to give up, the king here was willing to give up $204 million for the sake of that miserable steward who stole it from him in the first place. Now think about that. God must care for us. He must love us to have such compassion on us to save us when we're worth so little and we owe Him so much. I'm not sure how to do this, but I'll do it for me. I'll do it with me. I am not worth the death of the only begotten Son of God. You think about that. But somehow, He decided that the value of me being alive and having just the opportunity to receive Him as Savior was worth Him paying an ultimate price of the death of His only begotten Son. We are worth so much to Him simply because we are the object of His love. The King is easily worth more than the cost of our sin, or He could not afford to forgive a debt like that. But what God gave for us is worth more than $204 million. God gave His only begotten Son. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us fit or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, and all and that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And God let Him die for us. Our debt must have been awful big. If it takes the Son of God to pay our debt, how in the world are we ever going to do it? We can't. So salvation, listen to me, so salvation must be free. It has to be free. Because we could never pay for it. Our salvation costs more than we're worth. Since we're worth so little, we could be sacrificed, give all that we are, and the loss would still never touch the real cost of our sin. How could this man have run up a bill for $204 million? You think, well, how did one person? Come on! But apparently he had. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God takes pity and exercises His love and saves us. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He says, listen, give him to the tormentors. Sell him. Sell his wife. Sell his kids. Sell his house. Sell his camel. Anything he's got, sell it. Forget it. That wouldn't even, he's not worth enough to even come up to the first $100,000. His net worth isn't anything. Why in the world should I worry about this? All we're going to do is cause heartache for all these other people. I forgive you. Let's see if we can't have a life that's worth something. Let's give your wife and your kids a life here. You don't want to be sold under sin the rest of your life. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. There's a great price, a great debt, a great price, a great gift. Now we'll do one more. A great travesty. Those things, you can't believe it happens. A great travesty. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. You know, by their fruit you shall know them, the Bible says. Are you willing to exercise your love to forgive and save others as Christ has exercised his love and forgiven you? I think folks who truly understand and have experienced the forgiveness and have not forgotten it also live in a state of forgiveness. You know, the end of this parable, that old boy doesn't end up free at all, does he? Mm-mm. Why? Because the king said, you don't know what forgiveness is. You don't understand forgiveness. You didn't get it. You just want to take it and run. Nothing has changed on the inside. When we're saved, forgiveness ought to ooze out of us. If you've experienced, the happiest people in the world are Christians who have really, truly experienced forgiveness. Now, hold on. Did Jesus pay for all our sin on the cross? Yes. But does everybody accept the forgiveness? No. There's a lot of folks, that means I have a license now to sin. No. Experience becomes something that happens in the heart. It's a forgiveness that happens in the heart. He says, you haven't learned anything. Watch. How much do others owe us? See, if we're saying, he owes me enough that I need to throw him in jail. We say, well, you know, forgive me and let me off, God. We count pennies. When someone offends us, we're counting pennies. Would you see how he looked at me? Well, she walked by and didn't even shake my hand. It's amazing how we're counting pennies. We owe the king $204 million. And somebody stole your nickel. You gave, and you know, kids don't even know what this means. You gave them a dime to put it in the phone booth, and you didn't get it back. They don't even know what that means, do they? Watch. Who are we not to forgive others? He says there in verse 28, he says, he laid hands on him. Now he said, watch, he said it was 100 pence. A pence is about 20 cents. 100 times 20 cents is a $20 bill. He's ready to grab that guy by the neck. He says, he takes him by the throat. Give me my $20 back. Listen, boy, you just got saved $204 million. And you're worried about a 20 spot? Do we show mercy? Verse 29, his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. But he wouldn't. He threw him to prison. The greatest in the kingdom are those that are the closest to being like the king. The least in the kingdom are those that are the least like the king. Let me ask you a question. We think we are so valuable. We have no idea what God gave for us. No one can pay the debt. Watch. You can't pay the debt in prison. I always thought that was weird. He said, you know, let's throw him in prison until he pays the debt. Oh, that's going to work. Can a man praise the Lord from the pit? No. God says, let him live. Let him have a life. So in other words, once we're in there, there's no getting out. Right? You're in prison until you pay the debt. So you're there and you're stuck forever. Forever. Daniel 12:1 says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, and every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Once you're in the prison, you're in the prison. Revelation 14:6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwelleth on the earth, through every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine, the wrath of her fornication. And a third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine, the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast, his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. How can we, who are bound by sin, locked up in our iniquity, if you will, be free from sin to pay a debt? What we need to do is take those that have a debt against us to the king for the forgiveness. That's what we need to do. So that, listen, he forgave us all. And you know what? There were several this week who took somebody else, said, you got a debt to pay? Let's take him to the king. He'll forgive your debt. Now, do we understand the gift that was given us? Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Not because you deserve it. Not because it was no big deal. You asked me. Oh, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He called on the king and said, forgive me of my debt. Verse 33, shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, so he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You know, if we think we're worth the sacrifice of forgiveness, we're not really in the position to be forgiven. If we think we're worth the sacrifice of the forgiveness, we're not in position to have the forgiveness. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. We were lost, yet the king showed mercy, and others are lost. But do we show mercy or do we throw them away? Our forgiveness had to be free because we have nothing to pay it with. This is the grace and the mercy of God. Listen, wake up every morning with a recognition of the grace and the mercy of God. Brother Dick over here, ever I'll say, well, how you doing? Well, still on the upper side of the grass, breathing the air. Lord's given me another day. You know, if you wake up every morning recognizing the grace and the mercy of God, it will change your life. You really don't have a whole lot to complain about. Things really look a whole lot different. That offense that somebody did against us really is no big deal. That little black mark in the dent they put on the side of my Chrysler is no big deal. Well, it's a big deal to me. But it's no big deal if God would forgive me and let me have a home in heaven. He didn't put me in the prison for the tormentors. He saved me long enough that I could have my wife and my kids and the grandkids. Didn't lose them all. He saved my soul so that I could have life. Why? Because I wanted to. I desired it. Listen, with that mentality every morning, you will live rejoicing. You'll live with gratitude. And I think you'll live with a desire to serve Him who gave His life for you. I think something else happens. Forgiveness becomes a normal response. I think forgiveness becomes a natural, normal response when we wake up in the morning realizing the grace and the mercy of God. Now I think if you've done something, you probably should go to that person and make it right. But if they didn't come to you, forgive them. Fact is, now don't take this wrong, but the fact is, I've had quite a few folks over the years here call me up and say, Pastor, I want you to forgive me. Okay. What did you do? Well, you remember this conversation or this or that, or I forgot that, you know, and I. Well, I just realized I shouldn't have done that. I want you to forgive. Now, I don't mind you calling me and asking forgiveness, but the fact is, and this so helped me, honest to goodness, I had long since forgotten that. And it might have been just a few days before. My soul, why do we hang on to stuff? Wake up with the grace and mercy of God on your heart and on your lips. All those kind of things that you're all bitter about don't mean nothing. It's nothing. Forgiveness becomes a normal response. Love will emanate from your soul, and others will see Jesus in you. Your testimony will become one that reflects Christ, and others will desire to have what you have. Hearts will be open to hear the good news of the salvation, and the kingdom of God will increase, all because of a sincere realization that we could never pay the price. Father, thank you for speaking to us this evening. Thank you for doing your work in us. And I thank you for paying the price. It's not a thing we could have ever done. Not a thing we could have ever done. It had to be free. Salvation had to be free. There's no way we could add to anything. There's no way we have so little to offer. There is no sacrifice. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. Thank you for paying the price. Our heads are bowed.